So I have a certain direction of where I want to go with this, but I don't have to go in that direction. I'm open to just I want to hear more of suggestions than a specific direction where I'm going to take this. We're gonna discuss the mitzvah of Shalos Manos. So before we get into the Gemara, let's first get into the source. What the source is for Shalos Manos. So the source is from Megillas Esther, obviously. And I quoted here two psukim in source one. One is, it's at the end of Megillas Esther in Parak Tes, after we were saved. So it says in Pasuk Yutes in verse 19, Al kein ha'yudim ha'prazim ha'yishvim ba'arei ha'prazos osim es yom arba asar l'chodesh adar simcha u'mishde v'yamtov. They turned the 14th day of Adar into a day of Simcha, three things. Simcha, u'mishta, v'yamtov, u'mishloach manos ish l're'eyu. Right? They're osim es yom arba'as ha'lechodesh adar, simcha, u'mishta, v'yamtov, u'mishloach manos ish l're'eyu. Four things. Happiness, one of mishta, one of festivities, I guess. Yomtov, a day of yamtov, and a day of mishloach manos ish l're'eyu. Those are the four things. And then in Chaf Beis, three psukim later, it says, "Koyamim asher nachu behem hayudim me'avehem, v'achodesh asher nepach lahem yagon l'simcha me'eva liyamtov, lasos osam yemei mishta v'simcha mishloach manos Yisrael u'matanos la'avyonim." They turn these days into mishta v'simcha, into days of festivities and happiness, u'mishloach manos Yisraelu, giving shalach manos u'matanos la'avyonim, and matanos la'avyonim. My guess is you could probably, just from the two psukim that we saw, you could probably ask like 10 questions. At least. No pressure.
Yeah.
Any questions you could ask?
Obviously, they're celebrating different things, seemingly.
Yeah,
what merrymaking, feasting, holiday, and sending gifts. And then merrymaking, feasting, sending gifts and presents to the poor. So they left out one of them. Which one do they leave
they
out?
They drop holiday.
Not only do they leave one out, the first time it doesn't mention Matanos Levyon.
Right.
It only mentions it the second time. Right, the first time it only says that they switch Yom Tov for Matanos Levyon.
Right.
That's the first point. Any other comments or questions?
Well, the first one is Simcha the Umishte, and then the second one is Mishte the
Excellent.
The
Excellent. They switch.
The order.
We also switch the order of Mishte the Simcha and Simcha Umishte. Excellent.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, maybe not 10 questions. I'm trying to think of the questions that I have myself. One other comment is it's an interesting phrase. It says, "Osim es yom arba'asar l'chodesh adar simcha u'mishta v'yamtov u'mishloach manos Yisrael," that they turned the day into the following four things, and then also in verse 22 it also says they turned the day. It says lasos osam. It's like it's a defining of the day. This is like definitional to the day. The day is one of. It's not like shalach manos and matanos avyonim are mitzvos of the day. These are things that we do during the day. That's not what it says. It's not like the following are the mitzvos of the day. It says like the definition of the day are these four things. These four things constitute the definition of the day, which is very powerful. It's not just saying that this is a mitzvah which belongs to Purim, but that Purim's, it's the definition of Purim becomes these four things. This is definitional to the day. It's very different, right? You can have a mitzvah that belongs to a day, and you could also have it that this mitzvah is now definitional to the day. Right? So it sounds like Shalach Manos, from the beginning to end, is a definitional part of the day. It's the day's essence, along with Simcha U'mishta, along with Simcha Mishta, and Yom Tov is dropped.
And also, at the first one, well, it's singular. And three lines up from the bottom, Yemei Mishte, which to me means these are days.
Well, that's just because of the context. That's just the context of the fact that certain people celebrate. No, it's a good point. But certain people celebrate on the 14th and 15th, so just based on the context, it says that they made them into days in the plural. So the Gemara tells us that originally they wanted it to be a Yom Tov, a real Yom Tov, where it's forbidden to actually do work, like any other Yom Tov, and then it was dropped. They decided to change, they changed their minds, and they said it's not a Yom Tov. This is what the Gemara tells us. And that's why the second time around, it doesn't mention Yom Tov. Originally they wanted it to be Yom Tov, and then they dropped it, that there is no Yom Tov there.
The day was Mordechai, right?
Yeah, the day is Mordechai, meaning this is within three psukim of each other.
But then Mordechai was the one who wanted to make it a Yom Tov.
Yeah. And then Mordechai.
But Purim is not mentioned in the Torah, right? So if Purim is not mentioned in Torah, so what's the problem?
I mean, a day of Yom Tov, as in that it's forbidden to do malacha. You can't do malacha.
Isn't that only when it's mentioned in the Torah?
No, he wanted to make this parallel to the holidays of the Torah. He wanted to make it parallel to those holidays. So originally he wanted to be a Yom Tov. So what emerges is that originally, that's really what changes. It goes from wanting it to be a Yom Tov, he dropped Yom Tov, and then we have a new set, this is like now a new holiday of Purim, where the definition changes to Mishteh B'Simcha, Shalach Manos stays, and Matanas L'Avyonim. So apparently Matanas L'Avyonim wasn't included in the first part. It's included in this new way of defining the holiday. Once we drop Yom Tov, so now we can add Matanas L'Avyonim. And also Mishteh V'Simcha changes. We change Mishteh and Simcha.
Are you saying that the second time it's not as definitional as in the first?
No, it's just as definitional. It's just once it's no longer Yom Tov, mm-hmm. once they're not making a parallel to regular Yom Tov, so now things change. I haven't explained it. I'm just giving the structure.
Okay, right.
So things change where it's now Mishteh V'Simcha, and we add Matanas L'Avyon. That's the structure. And I'm not one. I'm not the first one to point this out. This is the Mefarshim on the Megillah point this out also.
Are you suggesting that there's a direct correlation that because we dropped the Simcha, because we dropped the Yom Tov, suddenly you're able to deal with money, and so you could give money to the poor?
Potentially, it's a nice idea. Potentially. That would be an explanation. Others explain as follows. They say that on Yom Tov, you are supposed to invite to your homes those who have nowhere to go, those who are poor, those who don't have money. Those are the people that you should invite into your home. So that was already implicit within Yom Tov. Once we drop Yom Tov, so then you have to make it explicit that it's Matanas L'Avyon. That you have to say explicitly Matanas L'Avyon, the concept of Matanas L'Avyon.
So we shouldn't drop that.
So that aspect of the Yom Tov you shouldn't drop. Exactly. And then the other part they have to deal with is the change from Simcha Umishta to Umishta B'Simcha. So I'm not sure if I'm going to address that now, but there are explanations for that as well. What I really want to get at is that throughout, the concept of Shalach Manos existed. That was a concept which existed both in the first time around, in verse 19, and the second time around, in Chav Beis. And Matanas L'Avyonim is introduced only the second time around. Which then leads to a question which maybe we'll partially deal with, but it's definitely something to think about, which is we have four mitzvahs during the day of Purim. There are four mitzvahs. There is Shalach Manos, Matanas L'Avyonim, Mikra Megillah, to read the Megillah, and to have the meal. Those are the four mitzvahs of the day, to have a meal on Purim. So the question is, what is the relationship between Shalach Manos and Matanas L'Avyonim? Are they the same thing? Are they different? And if they're different, then what is the difference? We're not going to have time to necessarily answer all these questions, but these are just things to think about as we go through this class and also the next class. Like, what exactly is... Shalach Manos is to give gifts to people who aren't poor. And Matanas L'Avyonim is to give money to people that are poor. So is that really the same thing? There's different standards for different people.
Are you asking, like, can I fulfill both mitzvahs?
I'm not asking if you can fulfill it. I'm saying fundamentally, is the goal, whatever the goal is for Shalach Manos, there was some goal to accomplish in Shalach Manos. It's not just, you know, Stam, they created a mitzvah of Shalach Manos. There's a goal in Shalach Manos. So was that goal the same goal as giving to the poor, as Matanas L'Avyonim?
I'd say that giving gifts to each other is the sense of building a community, bringing the people that you know and love closer to you.
Okay.
By giving gifts to each other. Giving money to the poor is not necessarily...
Not necessarily about that. That's just to help them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I would narrow the scope of what Des says, because the mitzvah is to give to a person, as I understand it, at least singularly, something special. And you know, when you try to figure out where the root of this comes from in the Qumran story, you know, you're hard pressed to find it, but for Mordechai's sending stuff to Esther when she was, you know, waiting for when she was in the midst of the beauty contest, right?
Right.
So, I mean, so it seems to me it's not necessarily community building so much as friendship building, or a gift to say, you count, I remember you.
To a specific individual. Instead of community-based, it's individual-based.
Individual-based,
yeah. Okay. Any other suggestions, yeah?
The matas, mishloach manas, has to be a finished food. It has to be something that you can eat right away. So the idea is that one who receives it receives something in its full, completed form, ready to use and enjoy. Whereas matas levyanim is money, which gives the person choice, gives them the ability to do with it which they want. So essentially, you're the person whom you're a colleague with. You humble them by having them receive a finished something that's theirs,
right.
And you raise the poor person to give them choice over what to do with money that can be used for.
Right. So I could argue. I'm not saying that what I'm saying is right, but I could argue that the only reason why I have to give a finished product to a friend is because I'm not gonna somebody who's not poor to give them money is, you know, what am I doing? Like, who? I don't need your money. But if you give me a finished product, okay, so that's a gift. Money is not a gift. So this is a gift. So I could make the argument that the reason why I could give money, it's just money is not a gift. So just like I give money to the poor, so then I also have to give a finished product to somebody who's not poor. So I could make such an argument. They're the same thing, but depending on the person, I give different gifts. So I could make such. I'm not saying that what I'm saying is right, but
money could be really a gift to a poor person.
To a poor person, exactly.
Poor person.
It could be viewed as a gift.
Yeah.
So maybe they're all the same thing. It's all about friendship, creating friendship, potentially.
I just had a question about mishloach manot. When I think of manot, I think of food. Is that, I mean, it's translated here as gifts, but is it specifically...
Well, manot literally is portions.
Portions.
Literally it's portions.
So is the intention that it's food?
Yeah, you're supposed to give food, but...
Right, so on the one hand, so that's what I thought, that it was food. So it's food to, you know, the giving of food. It doesn't say to whom, just says the giving of food.
But it says, you know, it says ish l're'ehu.
Okay.
Meant to his friend.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. And then specifically to give a matana, matanot le'avyonim. Matana is, is there a particular context of what a matana is? I mean.
So that's, you could give money. You could fill it by money.
Could be food.
You don't have to give, you could give anything.
So
but,
it's any kind of a gift.
Yeah.
A poor person, the money probably would be more useful because he has the choice of what
he can use with
to
that.
Do.
Yeah. So that's a whole discussion about Matanas of Levionim. Unfortunately, we only have two classes. So we're going to focus today and probably next week also on Mishloach Manos. But part of it is to figure out the difference between this and Matanas Levionim. So we're not going to get a complete picture. I'm just warning you in advance. It's not going to be a complete picture, but we'll try to get somewhere. So we're going to see there's one line in the Gemara about Shalach Manos, and then there are three stories. That's all that there is in the Gemara in terms of Shalach Manos. One line and three stories. So we'll go through these three stories after we do the one line. And each story I believe each story adds a lot to your understanding of Shalach Manos. Okay, so let's go through the source two. Umatanas Lavionim. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught, Umishloach Manos Ish Re'ehu, Shtei Manos L'Ish Echad. It says umishloach manos ish l're'eyu. It's in the plural. Manos is in the plural, so you have to give the minimum. The minimum amount of plural is two, so you have to give two portions le'ish echad. It just says ish l're'eyu. You only have to give to one person. Matanos l'avyonim. When it comes to matanos l'avyonim, it's shtei matanos l'shnei b'nei adam. Matanos is also in the plural, but so is avyonim. Poor people are also in the plural. So you only have to give two gifts to two people, which means that to each person you give one gift. You only have to give one gift. So by shalach manos, you have to give two gifts to one person. By matanos avyonim, you have to give one gift to one person and then another gift to another person. Right? So the obvious question is, why would there be a difference between the two? Why have a difference between the two? Why is it that when it comes to shalach manos, I only have to give to one person? When it comes to matanos avyonim, I have to give to two people? That's one question. And the second question is, why is it that there's a difference in how much I have to give? When it comes to shalach manos, I have to give two portions. When it comes to matanos avyonim, I give one portion to each person. But in the end of the day, I'm just giving one portion. So why is it that I only give one portion to each person? Why isn't it? Why do we have these two differences? So
I think it would make more sense to give more to poor people than to rich people.
Depends on what your logic's coming from.
Western,
I don't know.
So your portion...
It all depends on what your assumptions are coming from. I think
it would mean that your portion to poor people would be larger. You'd have to allocate a larger portion to a poor person. And that larger portion that you're going to give to that person would at least have to be equal what you're going to give to the next person. In other words, you have to have a fixed amount that will be meaningful. Because if you're giving just a gift, if you're giving just a food parcel, okay, so technically you can give the minimum amount because you're not giving it to really poor. You're doing it more symbolically, right? Whereas to a poor person, it has to be concrete.
Right. But that we're addressing why you have to have two to somebody who's not poor, two portions to somebody who's not poor, and one portion to somebody that is poor.
So that
why specifically one
portion that you're going to give has to be meaningful. You can't. Give a small portion.
Yeah, okay, fine. It has to be something, I agree. It has to be something which is meaningful. So, again, so we have these two differences. So why do we have these two differences? Why is shalach manos different than matanos l'avyonim? So again, the differences are, for shalach manos you only have to give to one person, matanos l'avyonim two people, and by shalach manos you have to give two portions, and matanos l'avyonim you give one portion.
To each,
but in the end of the day, it's just one portion. In the end of the day, it's just one portion, but it's to each person. Okay.
A quick question. They say sending gifts to one another and presents to the poor. Is there a difference between the word gifts and presents?
Well, yeah, manos is not literally, I didn't write this translation, but manos is not literally gifts, it's more portions.
Well, what does that mean? Portion of what? What does that mean?
A portion, that's something we might address, but let's say... like a main meal. Portion is something in the meal. A gift is a gift. Meaning, matanos l'avyonim is just presents. It even it fits the language, the difference in language stays even in the Gemara. The Gemara says, shtei manos l'ish echad, two portions to one person. And by matanos l'avyonim, it says, shtei matanos l'shnei b'nei adam, two gifts to two different people. So even the change in language, the difference in language between shalach manos and matanos l'avyonim, that stays not only in the actual psukim, but that also stays throughout the Gemara, that there's a difference in the language. Let's see the Ran. The Ran is gonna provide some direction. The Ran in source 3 here says, Gemara shtei matanos l'adam echad. You give two portions to one person, l'mishu asher, to somebody who's rich. And I assume his definition of somebody who's rich is somebody who's not poor. That's what comes out. Right? There could be a middle ground also, but apparently, if you're not poor, then you're rich. V'le'avyonim, and to poor people, she'enen regilin kolchach lechol, where it's not so common for them to eat so much. So di lehem b'matana achas. It's enough for one present. V'hi nachshavas be'neihem k'davar gadol. Because one portion for them, one gift for them, is viewed as something big. What to a rich person is two gifts to a rich person is just as significant as one gift to a poor person. That's what the Ran says. So there are a lot of things that come out of this Ran. There's a whole bunch of things that come out of this Ran. The first thing is that he's equating Shalach Manos and Matanas Lavion. He's equating the two. He says they both have to have the same underlying principle and idea. I could have argued and said that no, these are two different concepts, and the reason why they have two different laws is because these are two totally different concepts. That's not what he says. He says they have the same concept. What is it? It's something about the fact that they have to get a gift which is a davar gadol, an important gift, something of significance. And then he equates Shalach Manos to Matanos Lavyonim. And he says, by Shalach Manos, when it comes to the rich person, he has to get two portions. When it comes to the poor person, so then it's enough with one portion. Right? So he equates the two, and they all have the same underlying principle, which is you have to give something of significance. And what's significant to one person is not significant to another person. A poor person's definition of significance is his standards are a lot lower than somebody who's rich. That's what comes out of the Ran.
Doesn't make sense to me. Because on the one hand, we said that a poor person should get monetary because that'll give him a choice to do with what the money. He may want to use a portion of the money not just for food, but for some other use.
So that the money thing is the modern day application. Right now we're working backwards. We're trying to start from the beginning and try to figure out what the conclusion is. So as of now we haven't seen the word money yet. So we don't know yet whether you have to give money or not. Only money. What else? The other point that I find to be interesting in the Ran is what's the language that he uses for Shalach Manos. What words does he use for Shalach Manos?
Matanos.
Matanos. Which is the same exact word which is used for Matanos Lavionim. He changes, or he had a different version, the language of our Gemara. Our Gemara says manos, portions, as opposed to matanos for the poor person. For him, everything's the same. It's matanos for the wealthy, and it's matanos for the poor person. And it fits in beautifully for the Ran. His understanding is that this is the same thing. Shalach Manos, Matanos Lavyanim, they're the same idea. It's just, we have to give to poor people and we have to give to wealthy people. We have to give to both. And once we have to give to both, they're different, just different standards. But really, it's the same mitzvah. Seemingly, for the Ran, it's the same mitzvah. And so therefore, his language of the portion versus a gift is the same. It's all gifts. He has it all as the same language of gifts. That's the opinion of the Ran. You don't have to say like the Ran. You don't have to say like the Ran to say that everything is the same. You could argue, like I think some people here were arguing, is that these are two very different ideas. These are two very different concepts. There's a concept of Shalach Manos, and there's a concept of Matanos Lavyonim. And Matanos Lavyonim is about giving tzedakah. It's a form of tzedakah, let's say. It's, you know, giving to the needy. And Shalach Manos is something else. It could be something else. Whatever it is. But we'll try to figure out what it is in a minute. But whatever it is, it's something else. And once it's something else, so then the laws could be different. So I'm going to throw out an idea as to what that something else is. And perhaps I'll throw it out and then we'll see if this fits through for the rest of the time. Maybe Shalach Manos, when I give Shalach Manos, so I'm giving, who am I giving to? I'm giving to what the Ran calls a wealthy person. You're giving to a wealthy person. So does he need my gift?
No.
He doesn't need my gift. So why am I giving it to him?
For symbolism.
For symbolism, for friendship, to show friendship. Because even though he doesn't need it, I'm giving it to him because to show friendship. So the language of manos. Manos is a portion. So really, we're going to see it's in the context of a meal. They're giving him, basically, I think one mana is a course in a meal. It's what's all you need for the meal. Perhaps shtei manos, the fact that you have to give two, is just highlighting this idea that it's not even necessary. I'm going above and beyond with even a normal meal. A normal meal is one mana, one portion. When I'm giving two, what's the value of two versus one? Two is that I'm going above and beyond. The poor person, for tzedakah, I have to give him what he needs. What does he need? He needs to eat for that day. He needs food for that day. So I'll give him one portion, because that's what he needs. It's a form of, as of now, it's a form of tzedakah. I'm simplifying it, but let's say it's a form of tzedakah. For shalach manos, the idea is it's a form of friendship. The other person doesn't need it. So to highlight the fact that the other person doesn't need it is that I'm not even giving him something which he needs for that day. He needs to eat that day. He's going to have a meal for Purim. So he needs to eat that day. I'm not just going to give him what he needs for that day. I'm going to give him two manos. I'm going to give him two portions. I'm going to go above and beyond what's necessary. Because the whole idea to begin with is about going above and beyond. Because the person doesn't need it. He doesn't need to have my gift. He has enough money to have his own...
So why do I have to go above and beyond if he doesn't really need my meat? Because, why shouldn't I put my effort in the poor man?
Although you're not saying friendship.
I'm not saying your effort can't go even further for the poor person. There's definitely a value in giving money to charity, and your money should more of your money should go to charity than to the gift that you're giving to your friend. But there's the two mitzvahs that apply just for that day. What happens the rest of the year is a totally separate story. But for this day, it wants to highlight friendship. So for friendship, we're gonna go above and beyond. We're gonna tell you to give more than just one portion. We'll tell you to give two portions. Two portions is about going above and beyond. That's what I would like to suggest. We're not gonna play this out practically yet. I'm not sure if we can do this next week, but if we played it out practically, that means you would have to give somebody two portions, not just a lollipop and whatever it is, and raisins, but you would have to give two portions. Or at least that's the idea behind it. I think, I'm not saying you can't fulfill it with a lollipop and something else, but the idea behind it is to give two portions. Yeah.
Why does it have to be food?
We'll see. We'll get there. That might be saved for next week, but it might have to do with the suda, that it's for the meal that you're going to have on Purim. Yeah.
I don't think it's a coincidence that the words, the first time man is introduced for us, Vayomer ish el rehu manahu. It's the same words, the same of ish el rehu, and the man, which is the same root here as manot. There's got to be some kind of connection in the word that they chose in the Megillah, from when we're first introduced to man.
They're saying this is what they needed just for survival.
Well, so I saw a nice concept of that in a few parshas ago. The concept of ish el rehu, what's so special about it, is that there's no internal competition between you and your neighbor. And that happened because when you get the man, no one has to compete. Everyone got what they needed.
Right.
I think that's kind of the concept behind
of man.
Yeah, and this concept that they're trying to introduce in relation to what just happened here when we were all saved. It brought us back to that same space we were at when we got the man, where everything was taken care of for us and we had no internal competition. We were one unified nation, one brethren. So I think I don't know. When I read that, I thought about this, and now that just kind of solidifies it. Then you see the same words, and it's really the same three words.
Yeah.
Vayomer ish el rehu manahu. Right. They said, "What is this?" And they said, "It's man." I couldn't find it exactly, but it's the same words. So I think that's the idea behind this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to connect it into here.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There's got to be a connection there.
It's interesting.
And two,
and
double portion of
mine was
chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
So there you get the
yuntuf. No, but it's the same word. There's got to be a connection.
Yeah. No, I hear. It's interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so that's all the Gemara says about the laws of Shalach Manos, and Matan Slavonim for that matter. Then the Gemara has three stories, and depending on how much time we have, we'll try to cover as much as possible, and then next week we'll deal with the rest of the stories. First story. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya Shadalei the Rabbi Oshia Atma de Igla Tlasa Vigarva de Chamra. This is the first story. Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi sent to Rabbi Oshia a very fancy piece of meat. This is the leg of a third-born calf, which is viewed as like a delicacy, and a jug of wine. V'garva d'chamra. That's what he sent him as Shalach Manos. Shalach lei, Rabbi Oshia responded back. Rabbi Oshia was a poor person. He was also poor. Kayamas banu rabenu umishloach manos isareu matanas levionim. By sending me these two portions, you have fulfilled your obligation of both shalach manos and matanas levionim. You fulfilled both by sending it to me. So, right, by just sending him this delicacy of this piece of meat and a jug of wine, and he's poor, they fulfilled both Shalach Manos and Matanas Lavionim. Now, the Talmud Yerushalmi has a different girsa, a different version, which is the next source. And I want to focus more on the second version because it really helps define what's going on here. I don't think it's necessarily different than the Bavli. The messages behind it are different than the Bavli, but it's easier to see within the Yerushalmi.
Why does it say Vilna? Is it because there are two kinds of Talmud Yerushalmis? Because I noticed Vilna is in brackets, so why would they have Vilna?
Yeah, I think there are different girsas in the Yerushalmi. Oh. This is the Vilna edition. Shushalach l'Rabbi Oshaya Rabba. So in this version, it's Rabba instead of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but it's a very similar story. So, but it's the same to the same person, to Rabbi Oshaya. Chad itam v'chad login dechamer. So first he sent him one flank and one bottle of beer. One bottle of beer. Shalach v'amarle. So Rabbi Oshaya responded back. Kayamas banu matanas levyonim. By sending me these two things, you have fulfilled matanas levyonim. At least to the one person, right? Matanas levyonim requires two. He's one of the two. Chazar v'shalach le. Then Rabbah went back and he sent him another thing. Chad igol v'chad garev d'chamar. He sent him a whole calf and now a barrel of wine. Shalach v'amrlei kayamas banu umishloach manos Israel. And then he responds back to him and says, the first time you fulfilled matanas levyonim. Now you fulfilled shalach manos. To the same person. So to the same poor person, first he gave him a flank and a bottle of beer, and he fulfilled matanas levyonim. And then he went back and he sent him a whole calf.
The English says it was a different person who sent it.
Rabbi Yehuda.
No, it's not. Yeah, the English is wrong. I'm sorry. It was working. The English is wrong.
Okay.
You got to trust me on the Hebrew.
Okay.
Unless I could have somebody else here who reads Hebrew could support my opinion on this. It's all the same person. I was copying and pasting translation. That doesn't. And one had to do the Bavli. Anyway, it's all the same person. Rabbi then went back and he sent him the calf and the barrel of wine, and then he fulfilled Shalach Manos. Okay, so that's the story. So what comes out is that you can fulfill Shalach Manos with a poor person. The person was poor. You can fulfill Shalach Manos. But what also comes out is that you can fulfill both Matanas Levyonim and Shalach Manos to the same person by giving twice. By giving twice, you fulfill Shalach Manos and Matanos Levyonim. Any other comments as to
So what you're saying is you don't really have to give it to another person. You can do it for the poor person can receive also the Shalach
Manos. Also the Shalach Manos, correct. Okay. You could also get, but it seems like first you have to give one thing, which is the Matanos Levyonim, and then you have to give something else, which is acting as the Shalach Manos.
So that makes a little more sense to me.
Yeah. This version seems to be arguing with the Bavli.
With the Bavli.
Yeah, correct. But
Bavli says that just by sending two gifts,
you fulfill both. Correct. Here, so we'll try to explain the difference. I think fundamentally they're the same, and there's a nuance in terms of the differences, but we'll get there. What did he send the first time? What did he send the second time?
It was better the second time.
It was way better. It was way better the second time.
Yeah, much bigger anyway.
Much bigger. And for wine, both the wine beer. And for both the wine and the meat, it was much bigger the second time as opposed to the first time. It was a lot bigger. Why? Why couldn't he send the same thing? Why can't you send the same thing? Well, the Gemara never said that. The Gemara just says that you have to give two portions for Shalach Manos and one portion for Matanas Levyonim. So why can't I give the same exact thing twice?
Because this we're saying is exclusively for the poor person. So if it's for the poor person, you have to allocate something more meaningful. Because it's for a poor person.
He's giving it, both times he's giving it to the poor person. The first time he gives a nice gift. The second time he gives a nicer gift. So why does he have to give the nicer gift the second time? Any suggestions?
What came to my mind is it didn't have to be a nicer gift necessarily. It just had to be a second gift.
That's the question. Why can't he just repeat? Why can't he just repeat the same exact thing he gave the first time, let him repeat it and give it the second time?
The first gift is very utilitarian. It's like, it's a meal, nothing special. It's like, gets you from being hungry and upset to just being content. And the second gift is a great second gift. It makes you like actually above just this basic level of satisfaction.
And looks for your future needs as well, not just for the daily, for the future too.
Okay. This is excellent.
It's a bestowing of something extra special to your friend, and it can only be taken in that way because it's such a luxurious gift.
Yeah. So.
As opposed to something just utilitarian.
Exactly.
It could be that when the guy got the first gift, he was no longer a poor person.
Once he got the first gift?
Once he got the first gift, he wasn't considered a poor person anymore.
It's hard to say.
Not for that day.
Yeah,
comes a few hours later, and he's finished his meal. He's back to being that poor person.
Well, just a separate question. Why did he need to send two gifts to fulfill Matanos Aviyonim?
He didn't. I think...
That just happens to be the case,
yeah. But I think it might have been emphasized, I think, for the contrast. For the contrast of what he's giving in the second gift. Because in the second gift, both gifts are better. So I think it's there to highlight the difference between the gifts.
It supports Ran earlier. The Ran earlier who said that Shachmanot needs to be more expensive than Matanos Aviyonim.
I think it's like the Ran?
Yeah.
I think it's against the Ran. I hear what you're saying, but I think the logic is that it's against the Ran. The Ran was saying that Shachmanot and Matanos Aviyonim are the exact same thing. It's just different people have different standards. So I'm a poor person. So my standard is what he gave the first time. So I fulfill Matanos Aviyonim. So if my standard is what he gave the first time, so give the same thing the second time, and I can fulfill Shalach Manos.
No, but according to you, how you explain the Ran, if you're going to give Mishloach Manos to a poor person, one thing would be enough.
No. One thing is... What do you mean? One thing is from Matanos Aviyonim. I only have to give one thing for Matanos Aviyonim. I have to give two for Shalach Manos.
Yeah, but if you say the difference is not between Mishloach Manos to Matanos Aviyonim, but between poor person to not a poor person, so if you're going to send Mishloach Manos to a poor person, one thing would be enough.
Maybe you're asking the following. How could you ever fulfill Shalach Manos when you give it to a poor person according to the Ran? According to the Ran, Shalach Manos and Matanos Aviyonim are the same thing. Just one applies to one person, and Shalach Manos applies to somebody else, to a wealthy person. So, how could I ever fulfill Shalach Manos to a poor person?
According to the Ran.
According to the Ran, they're the same thing. It's just Matanos Aviyonim is dealing with a poor person. So I can only fulfill Matanos Aviyonim with a poor person. Is that similar to what you're asking? You could say no.
Wait, what the Ran is saying, it's the same level of gift, but you need two different people. This is the opposite, which is that...
No, it's not the same level of gift. It's different standards.
No,
one is double the other.
Yeah.
One is double, yeah. One is double the other person. Right. But so one is to a rich person, one is to a poor person.
So two... Yeah, two
according to the Ran, a poor person...
But I guess my point is you need two different individuals to be able to fulfill what the Ran is saying.
I think for the Ran, that would... at first glance, I would think that the Ran would hold like that. Yeah, I think it would... Meaning,
and what's different here is that you can actually fulfill both mitzvot.
To the same exact person.
Provided it appears that the gifts are, there's a difference in the gift.
That's also, so here we see that you can give to the same person and fulfill both. And additionally, the time when you fulfill for Shalach Manos, you have to give a bigger portion than for Matanos Aviyonim. Those are the two things that come out of this story. I think this is difficult for the Ran, because for the Ran, Matanos Aviyonim and Shalach Manos are the same when you deal with the same person. For that one person, whether he's rich or poor...
But you've changed the status, what he was saying. Like with the first gift, you took him out of being poor.
I find that hard. You think he's no longer... He's.
You have. In that point in time, you've changed the status to someone who has a full belly.
But when you see a person who's begging on the street,
I find it like hard. Like,
you give him $5 so he can go buy himself a meal.
You give him,
he's now a rich person.
No, you give him a meal, he's no longer starving.
But he's not a rich person. He's still a poor person.
But you said meaning, he's only two
according
classes,
to the
right?
Ron, no. According said, to the Ron, this, someone who's not according poor. To the Ron, the standards are what does he view as a valuable gift?
Right.
I'm a poor person on the street. You gave me a meal. I still view another meal, the same equivalent meal, which I could have. I just had lunch for dinner as a significant gift.
But you're giving them at the same time.
What?
Yeah.
You're giving at the same time.
No, you're not giving at the same time.
For the run, you very well could.
The case is where you don't.
For the day. You're giving them the $5 meal, and then you're saying at the same time, giving you an extra $5, you're my friend. I want you not just to fill your belly. I want you to have a festive day.
For the run... This is the point. For the Ran, it's not about Shalat Monos being a friendship idea and Matan Savyonim being about giving money for Staka. They're both the same. According to the Ran.
So according to the Ran, the mitzvah is that you have to give a Shalat Monos twice. Once to a rich person and once to a poor person.
Yeah, you have to give it to all of society. You have to give it to the wealthy. You have to give it to the poor. You have to give it
to the wealthy.
You have to give it to everybody. You have to give the same thing.
I think it's a very ungenerous reading of the Ran.
What do you mean?
It's...
Yeah, what's that mean?
It's... I read the Ran as saying that you're going to give two gifts to the wealthy person because you're going to be treating you're going to be giving something that he doesn't need just to fill his belly. With the second gift.
No, he says in the last line, he says, you give two to the rich and to the poor, she'enem regil mekol kach le'achol, they don't eat so much. Dai lahem, it's enough for them, b'matana achas. It's enough for one matana. Implication being that for the wealthy, it is not sufficient with one portion.
But
for the poor, it's sufficient with one portion. For the wealthy, it's not sufficient with one portion, so you have to give two portions. Because for both, it's natural b'neim kedavar el gadol. For both, for the wealthy, two portions, and this is the Ran. I'm just reading the Ran.
For the wealthy, it's only symbolism. Your friendship is only symbolism. It's not a necessity. You're showing your friendship symbolically by giving him a gift. Whereas for the poor person... It's not symbolism.
It's what they need. It's what they need. I agree. That's one way of looking at it. I'm not sure the Ran is looking at it that way.
No.
The other way of looking at it, which is what a lot of people were suggesting, and also what I wanted to suggest as an alternative to the Ran, is that Matanas Lavyonim is about making sure that they have, it's a form of tzedakah, in a simple sense, it's a form of tzedakah for the day. And that just, he has to have his meal. Shalach Manos, the reason why you give two portions is because you have to go above and beyond. It's about friendship. When it comes to friendship, it's not just, you know, I need to give you something because I think that you're hungry, but I'm giving it to you something as a symbolic gesture that I'm going to go above and beyond. You don't need this, but I'm going to give you a gift anyways. So I have to give two portions to show how I'm going above and beyond. This isn't just because you need a meal for lunch, but it's because I want to go above and beyond. That's why you have to give two portions. As opposed to the poor person, we give one portion because it's about giving what they need. They need staka. They need to have food on the table. So we'll give them food on the table. Therefore, we can fulfill it, I think, based on this understanding, with one person. We can fulfill both with one person. Why? Because we give the poor person what he needs. His basic meal, we gave it to him. That fulfills Matanas Lavyonim, which is about giving the basic meal. When you give him that second portion, or that second group of two, so now you're giving him what for that day is above and beyond. That's called going above and beyond. So that is the idea behind Shalach Manos. Shalach Manos is about going above and beyond.
So therefore
you can give to the same person. And that's why, and this is highlighted by the fact that Shalach Manos, when he goes above and beyond, he gives a way better gift than when he gives for Matanas Lavyonim. By Matanas Lavyonim, he gives him the basics. This is what you need for your meal for today. I'm going to give you that piece of meat and a bottle of wine, and you're good to go for the day. But when it comes to Shalach Manos is an idea about going above and beyond. So if it's an idea about going above and beyond, I'm going to give you a way better gift than what I gave you the first time. Because the first time it's about fulfilling Matanas Levyonim.
So what would Rav Moshe have said if he gave the second gift first?
That's what I was wondering.
So did he fulfill both in one giving?
I think that's like the Bavli. I think that's like the Bavli, and I'm not sure if that may be the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says, in one shot, you can fulfill both.
Why should you not be able to fulfill both?
Well,
I'm fulfilling both requirements.
I'm because I would say as follows. For if you do it all the... In the Bavli, it's all in one shot. I'm not sure if you're suggesting you should flip the order or do it all in one shot. But if you do it all in one shot, so then you gain in the fact that you're going above and beyond, but you're not doing an action which shows I'm doing this mitzad staka. If I have a poor person and I give them way more than what they're used to, so then that's not staka. That's higher than staka. That's a form of friendship. That's way beyond tzedaka. We want you to do two things. We want you to give tzedaka and to have this gesture of friendship. So when I give the poor person in one shot just something which is way beyond what he's used to, so that you can't call that, the Bavli would argue you could, but according to the Yerushalmi, you can't call that tzedaka. You can't say that both the friendship gesture and tzedaka could happen within the same action. Because when I'm giving him way above what he's used to, that's not tzedaka. Tzedaka is to give a person what they need. When you go way above, that's a gesture of friendship. So you can't see both within the same action. You wouldn't be able to see both within that same action.
Well, yeah, yes. I think you could argue that, if anything, because it's a bit concealed, it's still tzedaka. You're still giving him.
I agree. I think you
that
could
it
make
it might even be a higher level of staka because it's conceived.
Because it's perhaps it's a higher level of staka, and I think that's where the Bavli is coming from. This is the dispute between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. But I could also hear the other way of looking at it, which is that if you're giving way above, that's not staka. That's just friendship. I could hear both sides. And I think that is exactly the dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. There's a lot of hands going on here. Yeah.
I just want to ask, why then does it not talk about the two? There has to be two poor people. Like what?
No, there is. When he says you fulfilled Matanas Levyonim, it means as the one.
Yeah.
Obviously, he needs a second person also. But he's not saying you completely fulfilled
it. What's the significance of two? If it's the same thing, what's the significance for the Ron of having two?
Of two people.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is a separate question which we didn't deal with, which the Ron himself also is not dealing with in that line. He's not dealing with that. Why do you have to give to two poor people? And to that we might come on to the point that it's to show that how tzedaka is really, really more important. That in terms of prioritizing, we want to prioritize. You should have to do both, but we want to give more to the poor people, meaning in terms of numbers, individuals. And so therefore, we'll give to two individuals for tzedaka. But that's...
So they're not the same thing.
What's not the same thing?
To the Ron, they're not the same thing. If they're, because you always said that Ron says...
Are you saying for the Ron...
Then they're not the same thing. If he's distinguishing there, then they're not the same.
You're saying a question on the Ron. A question on the Ron. Why is it that you need
you said that,
two...
That he's saying the same thing. Matana.
No, you're asking a good question. That's a good question. According to the Ron, why is it that you need... To give to two poor people and to one.
If they're exactly the same thing.
Well, you need to spend a certain amount of money. So you're spending more money on the rich guy.
Yeah, that might.
So you need to put out a certain amount.
Equal, yeah. Meaning within the Ron, you have to ask, what is this division of you have to give to a poor person, to a rich person? What is this idea? Like it's the same exact thing. Why can't I give only to the wealthy or only to the poor? Why do I have to give to both? So apparently there's an idea of interacting with all society. That you have to interact with both the wealthy and the poor within this. You have to become friends with both. And so then, once you're doing that, so then you should have, according to this good explanation, that you have to, the amount that you spend should be equal to both. Let's say, I hear that answer. Yeah, you had a question?
So we're just back to the idea of looking at the different, actually, all three are different. The one in the Bavli is... A leg, and the jug. And in Yerushalmi you have a bottle and
In the Bavli, the case is more is closer to the second giving, because a leg of the third-born calf is viewed as a delicacy. So that would be more equivalent. That'd be closer to the second giving in the Yerushalmi, which is where he gave him a whole calf.
But here's the point that may or may not be good, is that the second gifts in the Yerushalmi are things that you not even necessarily need to use that day. They're only for the future. A barrel of wine, if you don't tap it, you don't open it, you don't use it, and it still ages, it still is good. And a calf, it is not a dead calf, it's a living calf. You could use it way later. Whereas in the gifts in the Bavli, you have the leg and you have a jug, which are big delicacies that you could use for like a feast for a family, but you'd have to use it on the day.
Yeah.
So it's true. I'm not.
It's average of the two gifts that are in the Yerushalmi.
I don't think it's an average. I think you're right that there is a difference between the Bavli and the second case of the Yerushalmi, because one is lasting for a longer time. The truth is that I don't particularly like the translation of the Bavli, that because the case there is Garva Dechamra, which is really a barrel of wine. That's equivalent to the. That's the same exact portion of wine that you're giving as in the second giving.
Okay.
So that's in terms of that, it's the same exact one. And then you're right in terms of just the food itself, you're right that you're giving a leg instead of as opposed to the whole calf. That is a distinction. I'm not sure if that plays a role or not, but that is a distinction. I just don't know if that plays a role.
You got to take Randy's fish, and this is going to be...
Sorry.
It's an interesting interaction in terms of between the rabbis. So Rabbi Hoshaya sends him a note back saying, oh, thank you very much. You sent me Matanot Lev Yonim. It's a little bit of a zetz. It's saying, you gave me a little thing. It sort of brings to my mind, like, well, what's the relationship between the two of them? So he says, you sent me the bare minimum. Thank you very much. Nice. Very nice. And then he comes back with the... So what does he do? Now it's, you know, he sends him a calf in the barrel. And he says, now you fulfill... Now you're... It's a different kind of relationship. First you're sending it to me because you're... I thought we were friends. You sent it to me because I'm poor. Thank you very much. And then gets the calf and the jug. And it's, now you fulfilled the matanot, the mishloach manot. To me, it's just an interesting... interaction between the two of them of what's going on in terms of the relationship.
I hear.
It's a bit manipulative in a
I don't know if he's coming from the perspective of, look, you gave me what a poor person gets, as opposed to...
Well, he's telling me that's exactly what you...
Well, maybe he's saying as follows. These are two rabbis that are conversing with each other through a messenger. One could have argued that when he gives him in the first case, he gives him the piece of meat and the bottle that he fulfilled Shalach Manos.
Mm-hmm.
You could have made such
but
an
that's
argument.
That's not what he said.
I know. So the reason why he responds back, he's saying, by the way, my understanding is that you have not yet fulfilled Shalach Manos. Not like saying, like, look, you view me as a poor person. Everyone knows he's poor. It wasn't like that. It was just they're conversing in halacha. They're two rabbis that are talking to each other about how are we going to view this situation. So he's responding back by saying, you should know, you didn't fulfill Shalach Manos, all you fulfilled was Matanas Lev Yonim, because I'm a poor person, so right now you could only fulfill Matanas Lev Yonim, because you only gave it the first time. The second time, they're just conversing in terms of how to view that situation in halacha.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that.
You prefer yours.
It's just hard to relate to.
Yeah, well, yeah, but yeah. These are, I mean, there are two rabbis conversing.
According to Ran, you need the two different types of people, correct?
Yes.
You need the poor and the wealthy.
And the wealthy, correct.
So at one point...
I don't know, I think this Gemara is difficult for the Ran.
Uh-huh.
It's difficult for the Ran. I'm not sure what to do with this Gemara.
So they don't reconcile, actually. Because if you don't accept that at some point the poor guy became a wealthy guy...
Unless you say that, but I find that a little difficult. Unless you say that, I find it difficult. But I don't have an explanation otherwise. Maybe that's how the Ram would understand it. Anyways, time is up. But we'll finish this next week. We'll go through the rest of this.
We only did one study tonight. We're going to do two studies next time.